Good morning. Welcome. We're going to be looking in the book of Exodus, chapter 14. Our focus is going to be verses 10 through 15, but we'll probably look at more in this message that I've entitled, Go Forward in Faith. When we lived in Raleigh, North Carolina, most of the children at the time were young. The two oldest were teenagers, but the rest of them were fairly young. And we used to lose power at the place that we lived for those 3 years. We lost power multiple times a year. And this wasn't just power going out for a few minutes or a couple hours. It would often be out for 6, 8, 12 hours. I remember it happening in the middle of the night and waking up in a dark house with children screaming. And I began a hunt for candles, having first to remember where they were or where they might be, and then getting around the house in the dark, trying to remember where everything was in the house to find my way around. I remember also that it happened again in the middle of the night several years later after we arrived in Baltimore. And when the power went out, where we lived was near the woods and it was very dark back there. And so you couldn't see anything. And I needed to get something from the basement. And so I went down in the basement, and that basement, it was so dark, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. So again, it was groping around in the dark, trying to remember where everything was, and trying to get to what I wanted to get, remembering in my mind where I was pretty sure it was located. And in that case, it was also finding the way back from the basement back upstairs because it was so dark and there, you know, the return trip was no different. And then getting upstairs, it was dark to be with everyone else. It was all about using the mind's eye of memory in that physical darkness. As Christians, we are to use the heart's eye of faith as we move around this world, which is often very dark, serving Jesus. In fact, Scripture speaks to this eye of faith in our heart in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If you're with me there in Exodus chapter 14, I'd like us to read those that passage, read our text in the context of the larger passage, which is in the middle of the Exodus event where God was freeing His children, the Israelites, from Egypt, from Pharaoh. And in order to get Pharaoh's cooperation, God brought 10 plagues of various types of insects and flies and blood and darkness, as well as frogs. And he convinced Pharaoh that it was time to let them go. And so they left. And after they left Egypt, they were approaching the Red Sea. God told them to camp. And our text talks about that part of the Exodus event. Let's read those verses in Exodus chapter 14, beginning with verse 1. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, that they turn and camp before Pi Hahiroth between Migdol and the sea, opposite Baal Zephon. You shall camp before it by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. Now it was told the king of Egypt that the people had fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? So he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Also he took 600 choice chariots and all the chariots of Egypt with captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he pursued the children of Israel, and the children of Israel went out with boldness. So the Egyptians pursued them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, camping by the sea beside Pi Hahiroth before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt so with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians which you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your place, your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, why do you cry out to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Moses and the Israelites were in a tough spot. In front was the Red Sea. In back was the entire Egyptian army. This text is about faith, and it contains three keys to overcoming difficult situations. They're found in verse 13. We want to focus in there as we look at these. But what are these keys? What are these keys to overcoming difficult situations? Well, first of all, do not be controlled by the circumstances. Look at verse 13, the first part. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Listen, present circumstances can sometimes cloud past realities. And the problems of the past can look better than the present situation. Look at it again, verses 11 and 12. Then they said to Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians? For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Listen, we will never know or experience what God has in store for us unless we willingly step out and move forward in faith. They came to a difficult situation. The Red Sea was in front of them. The Egyptian army was behind them. Instead of looking in faith, considering God's power, what they experienced in the Exodus, what they experienced of God's power so far, they were ready to go back. They were ready to go back into slavery rather than trust God and by faith move forward. I remember when we moved from Massachusetts to Florida, we had to remind ourselves of the new job there. We were moving away from our families, both of our families. We were moving from everything that we knew in our lives to go 1,500 miles to another part of the country where we knew no people for a job. In fact, the only person that we even knew at all was my boss, because the boss that I was about to have in Miami was the same one who hired me into the company 6 years earlier. So I knew him, but that was only at work. We had to go to a new place to live, new place to work, no friends, no family. Everybody was 1,500 miles away. We had to remind ourselves, listen, you must have something to hope for beyond your circumstances. Well, it was a new job. It was a new opportunity. We were looking forward to. Of course, unless we step out and move forward in faith, we never get to experience or hear about the things that God has planned for us. Listen, God had another plan unfolding in Miami. Joanne and I were both saved within 6 months after we arrived in Miami. God brought us all the way down there, and He had all these circumstances and people and church ready in His plan that brought us to the place where we became Christians. 1,500 miles away from family in a whole new place. We'll never know. We'll never experience what God has in store for us unless we willingly step out and move forward in faith. It's easy to look back at the things that we know, even though they aren't really what we're thinking they are when we look back. But the things that are ahead of us, we're not so sure about. And so it's easy to look back and change that reality a little bit to something that was comfortable, to something that was secure. Did Moses and the Israelites have something to hope for? We were looking at this new job, a new life, and God had another plan that He was working through that process. Did Moses and the Israelites have something to hope for? Well, sure they did. They had the promise of Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, where it says, "And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land which He swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob." So they had that promise, the promise of the promised land, taking them out of Egypt. So at some point this was going to end. And they were now leaving Egypt. And so at the situation at the Red Sea, they had the hope that God was taking them to the promised land. They also had the commission that Moses received in Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 to 12, where it reads, "And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you when I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Listen, they had those promises, the promise that Joseph passed on to them from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of the promised land, and they had the promise that God gave through Moses that he was going to take them out of slavery and bring them to that land that he had promised his forefathers. They had those promises of God to see beyond their circumstances. There at the Red Sea with the army behind them, they had those promises. God is doing something. He's brought us this far. He's going to take us the rest of the way. But they still had to face this difficult situation at the Red Sea with faith. Listen, to overcome difficult situations by faith, don't be controlled by the circumstances. And then second, don't go running off in a panic. Again, in verse 13, the second part. You know, when I worked for the computer company in Miami, the nature of our work as a headquarters office was all priority one stuff. We got involved when the local technicians couldn't solve the problem in the country, in Argentina, or Colombia, or Guatemala, or the Bahamas, Panama, Mexico, Puerto Rico, wherever. We got involved when the local technicians couldn't solve the problem. If they needed a particular computer part that they didn't have in country, or a software update to solve a problem, or they needed an on-site specialist to help deal with it. It was always high pressure to perform. We were the last line of defense. There was always pressure that we're the ones that had to get it done. And we had to get it done quickly to keep the customer happy. Someone one day put up a big sign in the office. They just put it up on the wall. We don't know who did it, but we ended up leaving it there. And all it said was, it had two words, big letters, this big sign. It said, no panic. No panic. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, stand still. Don't run off in a panic. Remember what God has already done for you. He just delivered you from Egyptian slavery. And how did he do it? Well, he provided leadership in Moses, and then he worked miracles with 10 plagues, which I mentioned earlier, of flies and blood and darkness, of locusts, of frogs. The last one, the 10th plague, was the Passover events. God was going to pass over Egypt, and the destroying angel was going to wipe out the firstborn of every home and the firstborn of livestock. And for his own people, the Israelites, God gave them a protection order. They had to slaughter a sacrifice animal and take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel of their home. And when the destroying angel would come over to take to kill the firstborn, when he flew over the home, if the blood of the sacrifice was on the doorposts and the lintel of that home, then he would pass over, where we have the term, the Passover. He would pass over that home. In Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, it reads, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Listen, God still delivers people from slavery. Slavery to sin today. He provided the sacrifice for payment in the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and then the resurrection. And He's working out a plan. Those who place their faith in the Lord for salvation of eternal life, God will still pass over when He sees the blood of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. When He sees that blood applied to the believer's heart, He will pass over that one for destruction, for the punishment of sin. You see, we all come this same way. Romans 3:23, "For the wages of sin, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." In Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death." The payment, what we deserve for our sin, is death. And that's not just physical death, that's an eternal death, a punishment in hell. But the rest of that verse says, "But the free gift of God is eternal life by Christ Jesus." And you know why? It's because God loves us. Romans 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves us so much that He gave us eternal life by Christ Jesus. And how did He demonstrate that love? Well, He gave Jesus, but He sent Jesus to the cross. Romans 5:8, "God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And then we put our belief, our faith, in the fact that He died for us and rose from the dead, and we confess that as a testimony of our belief. Romans 10:9-10. "If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the mouth confession is made, and with the heart we believe unto righteousness." And Romans 10:13, "And whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Do you know that? Is that your testimony? Have you acknowledged your sin? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you and give you eternal life? Have you applied the blood of His sacrifice to your heart, that God will pass over you in the day of judgment because of the blood of Jesus Christ? Listen, that the same power that was at work for Israel there at the Red Sea is operating today to accomplish God's plans in the lives of His spiritual children, Christians. And yet, they had to, and we have to, trust God in the middle of the situation. They had to trust God in their difficult situation, and we have to trust God in our difficult situation. We have to look not with the eye of our physical existence, but the eye of faith, a spiritual life. So to overcome difficult situations by faith, don't go running off in a panic. Stand still. Trust God that He will do what He says He's going to do. And then third, do not take matters into your own hands. Look again, verse 13, the third part of it. Then Moses said to the people, "See the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever." Do you know what all that means? Trust God and watch Him operate His glorious power. Look at verse 13 again, but look at it in the context of verses 13, 14, and 15. And Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And the Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the children of Israel to go forward into the water, into the Red Sea. Start moving forward." Listen, pay attention to what the Lord has in store for the future, even when you cannot see it. All Israel could see in front of them was water. And if they looked behind, they had an army seeking to destroy them. They were in a panic. So they began to look back at what was comfortable. What was familiar. What was secure. Even though it was back in Egypt as slaves. It was familiar to them. It was comfortable. Even in its difficulty, it was more comfortable than being here. Possibly being destroyed. It was secure. You see, they knew slavery. Even though they suffered, they knew slavery. This new experience was unknown. Even with all of its promises of the promised land, of a land flowing with milk and honey. No slavery. Listen, we must learn to look up, not out. God was still in control then, and He's in control now. The same God who showed up in the fiery furnace for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The same God who showed up on Mount Carmel for Elijah. The same God who showed up alive on the third day, Jesus. He is still in control today. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, God did not bring Israel out of Egypt just to die at the Red Sea. And neither does He allow circumstances to come into our lives today as Christians just to let them overwhelm us. We have God's faithful promise. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2. "But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And walk through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you." Remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They didn't even have the smell of smoke on their bodies, on their clothes. Listen, the problem that you see as so big today will seem so insignificant after God takes care of it. My co-worker and friend, Pablo in Miami, worked with me. He always used to say, when we were handling a big problem, when we were struggling and we couldn't see how to fix it, he would always say, "Eric, we'll be laughing about this in 6 months." Well, we weren't always laughing. 6 months. But the problem that was so big at the moment became so insignificant in the context of time. God allows difficult situations in order to get our attention and to get us on our knees in prayer. Listen, I would call you to make a commitment today. Purpose to serve Jesus Christ through the eye of faith, even in the midst of the most difficult situations. Whatever your situation is, and we all have situations coming and going in our lives. Some are small, some are medium-sized, some of are really big. But purpose to serve Jesus Christ through the eye of faith, even in the midst of difficult situations. Would you make a commitment to do that? To do that today? Well, let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the testimony of Moses and the Israelites, and as you demonstrate your power there at the Red Sea with the Egyptians bearing down on them. They were ready to just run off in fear, to take matters into their own hands and go back to Egypt. But Lord, you told them not to be afraid. You told them to stand still. You told them to just watch your deliverance, that you would fight for them, that you would destroy the Egyptian army and bring them to the promise of the promised land. And Father, I just pray that you would give us the confidence, that you would give us the grace to trust you in the midst of our difficult circumstances, our difficult situation, that we might see your power. And that with hope we can look past the situation and see with hope what you have for us. And Father, we just thank you and praise you. And it's in the name of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you make that commitment to serve Jesus through the eye of faith, even in the midst of those difficult situations? You have a great day.